The Science of Kirk presents In the Nest, and I have a special guest today to celebrate with me, and I thought it was only right because the guy's been a great guy to be on WNSD. Who else would it be but the owner himself? All right, Nestor Aparicio. And Nestor, this to me, since I've been on 1570 AM with you in the, I think it's almost over 3 years now, or going into the third year, part of the third year, with all the Ravens wins and Maryland basketball wins, I haven't had that crowning moment, all right, to celebrate on the air on your channel. This is it. That's why I wanted you on today. Maryland, the University of Maryland, just did something. They threw themselves into lacrosse history as perhaps the greatest team that ever played. Now, that's a big statement, okay? That's a huge statement, but it's true. It's only a matter of discussion now whether Maryland at 18-0, the most wins ever in an undefeated season for any lacrosse team, can be talked about in the same breath with the 1990 Syracuse Orangemen, all right, that went 13-0 and won a national championship, and the 2006 Virginia Cavaliers, who also, under Dom Stargia, a great guy, great coach, also went undefeated. That's why this is so special, and I lived through every game, and out of the 18 games, I only missed, I think, three road games, went to every other one. You know, I'm going to go to Notre Dame. It's not an easy trip, but the way this team was put together by a tremendous executive and coach in John Tillman, and the way they ended with a tough game, a championship game that sometimes does turn tough, what made this just a miraculous season. And what were your thoughts? I know you know. Oh, you probably watched some of the game.
I'm on the outside, right? So I'm not a lacrosse guy. I was a baseball guy. I've talked about that for 31 years on the radio. But I follow lacrosse every year. I've had tons of lacrosse people on. I've been on the radio for 31 years. I've been to six Final Fours probably at College Park, Philadelphia, Baltimore. I went to two of those.
So that makes you somewhat of a lacrosse fan. But if I said
Tony Seaman was always the one trying to get me. He was always the one saying, "You like hockey. It's hockey on feet with a ball." You know, like it's hockey. How can you not like it? And it's not about me not liking it. But here's the part that I would say. In my time on the radio during the last 25, 30 years, lacrosse has expanded dramatically, right? Like you talk about 1990. I was at the Baltimore Sun then. I remember when Bob Clark was sitting there trying to figure out the tournament and who was going to play and where who's going to play Division III and Salisbury and the Powers, Hopkins, Syracuse, those schools. Then the ACC came in on this, Duke and North Carolina, and recruiting out of places outside of upstate New York and outside of just Maryland, these sort of Jersey, these cradles of lacrosse, that what you're saying to me, I can't even dispute it, because I would say, as somebody who likes to study stuff, there's more kids playing lacrosse. There's more schools giving lacrosse scholarships. It's more competitive than it's ever been, with Denver's and Notre Dame's and more schools playing it. The fact that you could be this dominant this far in, that's revelational to me. And I would say, much like what Krzyzewski has done at Duke, and I know that's a dirty, it's a 34-letter word for you, Duke, but on the basketball side of all of the years, as basketball got more competitive and the Creightons and the Butlers and the George Masons can get the kind of players to be in a Final Four in basketball, lacrosse to me, it's amazing that someone could be dominant because of the amount of players playing it in the recruitment. So to your point, 18-0 in the modern era, much harder to do than what Syracuse did, where it was easier to front load your team if you were Hopkins during the Zimmerman era, or, 25, 30 years ago when there were only, if you were a Gary Gate or a Paul Gate, there are only five or six schools you consider going to. Now, I think there are 30 schools you consider going to, right? If you're really good, you could go anywhere and play lacrosse.
Very, very well put. And that will be my argument when I have Paul Carcaterra on my show and we discuss 90 Syracuse versus 2022 Maryland. 32 years difference. So many better lacrosse players now. So much tougher to dominate. And here's the next point of it. Since John Tillman got to Maryland, he's been there 12 years, Nestor. All right. Maryland has been to 9 Final Fours. Most teams, when they get to a Final Four, it's like that's the success. You know, like Cornell hadn't been there for like, I think, 15 years.
Well, look at Towson and Loyola, Bruce. I mean, when they, you know, they had their moment, but they don't have it every year.
They don't have it every year. Can you imagine 9 Final Fours in his 12 years at Maryland? And here's the craziest part. 7 championship games. All right. 7 championship games. And the blemish is that he lost 5 of those games. All right. But to lose a national championship, you know, LeBron, I think, is 3-for-7 in championship games. It's not always easy to do.
Tom Brady just makes it look easy.
What's that?
Tom Brady just makes it look easy.
He's different. He's a different breed, all right? He's
different. Well, when you start talking about 7 championships in 12 years and this and that, the only thing I could compare it to would be Jordan or Brady or maybe Gretzky back in the day.
That's the scope of what I'm trying to say. And Carcaterra said it best on TV. I haven't heard it yet. I've watched the replay. I've watched different things because I was at the game, obviously. Carcaterra said that Maryland is now the Alabama of lacrosse. And that's the point that makes this team so unbelievable. Look, here's a stat that's going to blow your mind about how great this team was. Because the year's over, and now 10 guys are leaving, and Tillman's got to start all over again. Basically, he's got a pretty bloated shelf. But there's 10 players on the lacrosse field at one time. You know, 3 defensive, 3 middies, and the goalie, and 3 attack. All right? Actually, 11. All right? Because there's a long pole middie. So 11. But that's not the point. 12 All-Americans on the Maryland team. How can you have 12 All-Americans when there's only 11 guys on the field? They have 12 All-Americans. You can because you have different midfield lines and you have substitutes. Maryland has substitutes who are All-American. That's what this team was. And to run the table today, playing the toughest schedule that you could play, number one schedule, number one RPI, 12 weeks is number one, all right? Challenged a few times. They had to play at Notre Dame, which is like a place where teams go to get beat. All right, they beat.
How many
Notre
people
Dame.
Go to Notre Dame lacrosse games when you go out there? What is the appeal in the middle of Indiana for folks to come? I'm wondering. I just don't know. I mean, I know home.
I don't know either.
With the ladies' championship, you're going to get a ticket.
Look, North Carolina, when they have a lacrosse game, might draw 2,000 people. Notre Dame, same kind of thing. But Maryland, we are lacrosse. On a Saturday afternoon, we could have a game at Loyola, a game at Towson. We could have 6 high school games that draw 2,000 or 3,000. This is the hotbed. This is where it always has been. It always will be. But the team of the University of Maryland, even though its star, Logan Wisnauskas, because we're taping a few days ahead, but he will win the Tuorton Award, all right, which is the MVP or the blessing of as the best player. He did go to Baltimore, and there's some other Baltimore players there, but the team's from all over. Oregon, Utah, Bubba Fairman, the team's from all over the country. There's a kid from Atlanta named Eric Maliver. Florida is dominant. They had Jared Bernhardt that you know is trying to make the Atlanta Falcons. And last year, this is great. This is why I wanted you on. So you remember when Lee Evans dropped the ball and missed the field goal.
I try to forget that, but yes.
But you can't forget it. 1 year to the day, all right, they were back in the same spot in New England. 1 year to day. And you heard Ray Lewis talking about, and John Harbaugh more than anybody, about how maybe the Lord had a plan for the Ravens to go through that heartbreak of that horrible defeat. I think the worst defeat in Baltimore football history, that game. Because when he dropped the ball, he dropped the Super Bowl, okay? They come back a year later, and they win the game. They dominate. They go on to win a Super Bowl, right? And what happened to Maryland a year ago of the day of Memorial Day? They lost an utter heartbreaking loss to a great Virginia team, 17-16. And I'm going to tell you, Nestor, they dwelled on that. That was their motivation. That was their juice. When Maryland lost to Duke in the Final Four, they spent a year just grinding, saying, we got to get back and get the title. And what happened? They got the title. Things repeat themselves in sports. And, you know, there were some problems and injuries on Saturday night, on the Saturday game, and we played till 9 o'clock, and 36 hours later had to play, and people were worried. And I even texted the coach. I said, Coach, you're going to win this game no matter what.
I thought Maryland was going to win by a dozen on Monday. I really did. I don't know enough to
know that that wasn't the case, because when it's 90 degrees outside and you got to play two lacrosse games in 36 hours, and the other team has had three or four more hours rest than you have, and the other team is good. They're in the championship. They're not bad. If Maryland had a week to prepare for Cornell, they win by 10 goals. In other words, if it was the normal schedule, that's not how it works. You got to beat somebody in 2 days, and it's different.
Well, it's like ACC tournament in basketball. You know, you're out there playing on Sunday, you're dribbling Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It adds up. There's no doubt about that.
John Tillman is the most brilliant coach for preparation. And this isn't Bruce Posner talking. Coach of Virginia, Lawrence Tiffany, when he found out that he had to play Maryland up in Ohio State, all right, he says, you know, Tillman gets a week to prepare. When you get a week to prepare and you're a great coach and you got the best talent, what's going to happen? They won every game by 9 goals this year. They were scoring. They were up against Hopkins 22-4 with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter, Nestor.
This is what you talk about, sustainability for all of this. Hopkins was going to be great forever. Syracuse, you know, they were just going to own it forever in the way that, you know, I guess Indiana basketball was going to own forever or whatever.
Well, we feel that way now. And it's not, nothing's forever. You know that. Things right. happen.
That's why you should enjoy this Maryland victory.
Am I enjoying it? I can't enjoy it anymore. I couldn't go to sleep Monday. Listen, when the game was over and we went through, you know, the dog pile and everybody's hugging and everything, I said to my guys who work with me, I said, I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave this field. I don't want this to end. But in college, everything ends.
Did you play lacrosse? When did lacrosse come to you? Is it always since the time you were 12 years old? Because you're a kid from Dundalk and you're born into the Aparicio family, it's baseball season is what it is.
I didn't play lacrosse because I was a very good basketball player, you know, in quotes.
Right.
I was a good basketball, high school, everything. And I spent 12 months a year, and it was the biggest mistake in my life not playing lacrosse.
Regret it. Okay.
And my 2-year-old grandson right now sleeps with a lacrosse stick in his bed. Okay. So
what did you love about it so much? Because it clearly wasn't playing it, or you know what I mean? That wasn't a part of it. I loved about it, I could pick up a lacrosse ball and throw it or whatever, but I never played lacrosse.
I got into lacrosse a lot when I was in Lancers. Remember Lancers, the boys club in Northwest Baltimore.
Sure.
And they were ahead of the game with lacrosse. And I used to go to Hopkins, you know, 5 times a year to watch. And then I always waited for Maryland to play Hopkins. I'm going back to the late 50s up in lacrosse. Okay. All right. So, and for whatever reason, Hopkins, Dave Petromala is a good friend of mine. Always the enemy coach, but that's not how it works. Him and Tillman are buddies, you know? I mean,
well, the lacrosse community was always that way.
Right? It is like that. Yeah, and I'll tell you what Dave Petromala said to me. When Debbie Yale fired Dave Cottle, who was a great friend of mine, and I was heartbroken when she did, and she hired John Tillman. And the first time I met him, he's not the kind of guy who's going to overwhelm you when you meet him, you know? And I'm thinking to myself, man, is this the guy that's going to like move us forward? And Dave Petromala, I had him on my show, and he said to me, Bruce, he said, Maryland just made a move that's unbelievable. This guy is the future of lacrosse. He knew it. You know, he knew it. It's just certain, like Maryland played Cornell, and they have, I think, a 30-year-old head coach named Connor Busick. He, to me, is the next guy, you know, who's going to, like, blossom. And, you know, and Cornell lacrosse is back. They've been gone for a while, but they're back. So my point is, I never understood John Tillman until his first year. His first year, I'll never forget this as long as I live. The team was struggling, and it was all Dave Cottle's players, all right? Dave Cottle left them a good team, and it was struggling. And, you know, Tillman was having a hard time talking to these guys because he's not the guy who recruited them. He didn't bring them in. Who did he call up to talk to the team? Nobody else would do this except John Tillman. Called Dave Cottle, the guy he replaced.
Right.
And said, Dave, I need your help. You got to come in here and kick ass on these guys. Cottle came in and he went ballistic. And he said, I mean, can you imagine a coach doing that? To ask a guy. Then when Petromala ridiculously gets let go at Hopkins, John Tillman takes his assistant, a guy who's been at Hopkins for 20 years, who's the most brilliant offensive mind there is in lacrosse. That's Bobby Benson. Brings him in. Maryland averages 18 goals a game, you know, stalling the game in the fourth quarter against most teams. So in other words, Tillman is, he's, has no ego. He doesn't want the credit. It's all about the guys, the team, spending time with them. And he has established a dominance in lacrosse that's impossible to understand. I was up in Columbus, Ohio. Maryland wins the game to get to the Final Four. You know, the toughest game is to win the game where you go to the Super Bowl. You know, because like once you get to the Super Bowl, it's a great season. You might be heartbroken if you lose, right? But going to the Super Bowl, the juice that it gives the team, the city, the fans is incomparable. Tillman has been to 9 of those quarterfinal games, all right? And he won 8 of them. You know how hard that is to do? And here's the thing. The one that he lost was the game against Virginia on the goal that never was a goal. It hit the post and came out to midfield, and they ruled it a goal with 20 seconds left. That's the game he lost. So my point is, this guy's got it. Maryland lacrosse has it, but it's been criticized for losing the big game. He's lost 5 natties, 1-1 against Ohio State. But this one's different because he had to undergo the pressure of being unbeaten the entire season when everybody who are Maryland haters, and you know there's a lot of them out there, all right? I'll never forget when Loyola played Maryland. I'll wrap it up with this. When Loyola played Maryland, I had Maryland fans come up to me and say, oh, man, you know, I hope Loyola wins. They never win anything. I said, are you nuts? I said, I love Charlie Toomey too, and I love Loyola. I go to their games. I follow the team. And there's just so many Maryland haters out there. And you could say it's my mind. I'm sorry. It's not. Very few people root for Maryland. But the people in Terrapin Nation are zealots. They're nuts. They love the team. The players love Tillman. And it's just been a great, great season.
Love seeing you this happy, Bruce, you know.
I'm happy, man. I can't deny it. But I wanted to have you on the segment, all right, just to let you know that this is the prime moment of my – and I hope the Ravens go to the Super Bowl and win. But to me, it'll be equal, but it won't overtake this.
I had Coach Tillman out when he was a member of the Baltimore Thunder back in the day when I was at the Barn back in the 90s and whatnot. And you know, he's a Cornell guy, so interesting story all along. Bruce, man, appreciate having you here on Monday mornings as always, man, and good morning to you. And you have another 50 weeks, 50 and a half weeks to enjoy this thing, buddy.
Well, you know, it ends in a couple weeks. But Nestor, I want to have you on. As always, I thank you for all the support you give me and the fact that you do. Whatever I do, if I go over, if I go under, you never, ever call me up and say, Bruce, you got to straighten this out. So
love having you at 8 a.m. and noon on Mondays.
Yeah, well, listen, if you missed any of this, you want to hear it, turn in at noon today. The replay will be on. Nestor, we're going to go out to our first break. This is Bruce Posner. Again, we thank Nestor Aparicio for coming on. We'll be back in a few minutes here on Science and Kirk presents In the Nest.